Amen. And pray with me now. Father, we come before Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for Thy touch. I know, Lord, You don't have to have me, but I'm in desperate need of Thee. And I pray that You'd endue me from on high as You promised in the book of Luke. I pray as You show us in Acts chapter 1 for the power to be preaching through me, the power that the blessed Holy Spirit gives. May the unction, He, stand up and preach this morning. May I be the mouthpiece of Thee and have a touch from heaven. Lord, what could be done if Your power is on the service? And we trust this in Jesus' precious, wonderful, glorious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The book of Proverbs. Wisdom. We need wisdom. You find the book of Proverbs how in chapter 1, a woman who's adorned and beautiful begins to cry out and call everyone to follow her. And she's wisdom. Wisdom is a beautiful thing. It gives you longevity of life to be wise. It gives you the blessings of heaven to be wise. It gives you food on the table to be wise with your life, wise in your financial dealings. It gives you a good night's rest to be wise as you have wisdom towards people and business deals. And wisdom in chapter 1 calls out and she says, come after me. And if we'll follow her, there's a path of blessing, a path of life. That's the theme of the book of Proverbs. King Solomon, the human penman, knew over 3,000 Proverbs. He had committed them to memory. And no doubt about it, the wisest man to ever live. And then you find another woman in the book of Proverbs, and she is the strange woman. And she says, no, don't follow wisdom, follow me, I'm folly. And she says, come after me. And she has a one-way road that leads to a dead end of destruction. Hey, don't follow her, follow wisdom. God teaches us that wisdom comes from where? The Bible. You don't have to be old to be wise. Did you know that? You can be young and be wise. Wisdom is not, listen to me, wisdom is not because you have gray hairs. There's people that have gray hairs and they're still foolish. Somebody say amen right there, you know. But don't poke them if he's sitting by you. It's not because you have gray hairs, but it does, when you have experience in life, usually through a bunch of mess ups, you've learned some things as you get older, right? Young people, they don't listen to people. They just do what they want to do. But did you know if anybody, young or old, will pay attention to the Word of God and follow the Word of God, they can be wise. You can be wise at any age if you'll listen to the Word of God and apply it to your life. And let me tell you, wisdom is not just knowledge. It's the knowledge of the Word of God and knowing how to apply it correctly in your everyday life. Proverbs deals with relationships, deals with friendship, it deals with business handling, financial decisions, loan, debt. It deals with how to handle life in every area that we walk. And this morning, we're going to look at a very important matter of the book of Proverbs. And I pray that this is not you. I pray that if there's some marks of this that does identify you, you'll repent and live differently. I don't know about you, but I want to be where God can bless me. I want to be in the place where I can receive the blessings of God. And I want to preach this morning with God's divine help on the marks of a sluggard. The marks of a sluggard. Oh my. Don't be a sluggard. The book of Proverbs deals with the sluggard several times. It deals with the slothful man several times. It shows us things. If I was going to define to you this morning what a sluggard is, simple definition by Webster is a lazy person who's idle, habitually lazy, and is not active. One person has said a sluggard is easily defined this way. A lazy person who could work, but doesn't. Amen. One that can work, but doesn't. And let me tell you something. When you look in the Word of God, you're going to find that God has a method of how to make money, a method of how to have money. The only biblical account of getting money correctly is by two ways. Number one, working with your hands, labor that's good. The Bible teaches that. Working with your hands, labor that is good. That's one way you earn money. Another way is somebody that has worked the right way has given it to you because you needed it or it was an inheritance. That's all. So receiving, working and receiving, working for money or receiving it from the hands of somebody that worked for it. It's the only method in the Bible of receiving money. You don't do it by the lottery. Amen. Twin Arrows, you're welcome. You don't. You don't do it by gambling. You don't do it by one-armed bandits. You don't. God gives, and listen, if you're going to be biblically minded, you got to go to the Bible. God teaches us the only biblical methods to have money in your pocket is A, you've worked for it and you've done the right work, good work, or B, you've received it from somebody that did good work. That's it. That's the only way. And this morning, unfortunately, a lot of people get money the wrong way by being lazy. Moochers. Moochers. I think it's safe to say a sluggard is a thief. A moocher is somebody that steals. And God says, him that steals, steal no more. But let him labor with his hands. Or let him give to him that needs. And let's look at some marks of a sluggard this morning. Number one, the sluggard is in love with, what do you think it is? What do they love? That's true, but let's be something that they do. I'll tell you what they do. They love what? Sleep. They love to slumber. Sluggard, slumber. Almost sounds like the same word, doesn't it? They love to sleep. Look with me in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 9 that we started out. How long wilt thou sleep? O sluggard, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Hey, a mark of someone that's sluggard and slothful, you know what they do? They sleep. They sleep too long. They stay in bed. You know what? You've got to learn to get out of bed. Don't love your bed. When the sun's up, guess who ought to be up? You. You say, I'm not a morning person. Well, ask God to help you and get out of bed. Amen. There's no excuse to be someone that stays in bed as the sun comes up and keeps turning all over the place. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 14 says this, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Is that you? Just like the door turns on the hinges. Are you that person in the bed? I'm not ready to get up. Just a few more hours. You know what? When you wake up, that's when you ought to get up. Some people, did you know, here's a good mark of a sluggard. Listen here. Those that make themselves go back to bed. They wake up, their eyes go boop, and then they say, well, I'm going to close them. That's a mark of a sluggard. If you're going to sleep extra, it ought to be by purpose. You've worked a couple of days without sleep, and you say, I'm going to sleep a little extra this morning. There's a purpose behind it. You read the men in the Bible. You know what they did? Those God-fearing men like Joshua and Moses and the Lord Jesus himself. It says they rose early in the morning. The book of Proverbs chapter 31 says a virtuous woman, ladies, a virtuous woman ariseth while it is what? Night. She gets up before the sun's even up. Amen. You're welcome. Help me. Amen. You can say amen or oh me. But God help us to find out that it's not right. Listen, I'm telling you, it's not right. It's a mark of someone that's a sluggard, a slothful person, when you stay in bed and make yourself sleep. They love sleep. They're in love with sleep. Sleep is a necessary thing, no doubt about it. You need it to have a healthy life. I'm not advocating not sleeping. But when the sun goes down, go to bed. When the sun gets up, you ought to be up. You ought to be. The famous proverb of Benjamin Franklin, early to bed, early to rise, makes one wealthy, healthy, and wise. Don't be like the slothful man. Don't be like the slothful man that stays in her bed, stays in his bed. Be somebody that gets up when it's time to get up. And by the way, get some character and set your alarm. And don't put it beside you. Listen, if I say, I know how Josh Gregg is, and I like the mornings. But if I set my alarm clock an arm distance, I'm sleeping late every time. I've got to put it across the room. I've got to make myself get out of bed. And then my mind registers, oh, it's time to get up. I don't want to, but it's time to get up. Oh, you better be careful. I'm talking about the blessings of God. You say, I can sleep. It's all right. It hasn't hurt anything. And let me tell you, if you want God's touch on your life, show Him the character you ought to have to get up early. You know, you think about a morning with your family. Those that have children, those that have a husband, wife, the families of America. Do you know how much better our families would be? How more enjoyable home would be if mama got out of bed and daddy got out of bed and breakfast was cooked and children were around the table and people were enjoying their mornings instead of minute deals out the door, a cup of coffee for my meal, instant shake. You know how much better your life would be if you get yourself out of bed and enjoy your morning with your family. And hey, here's a thought. How about devotions? I just don't have time. I know, because you stay too long in bed. Amen. Quit being late to work. Get up. Quit being late to school. Get up. Amen. Don't be a mark of a slugger. Don't be a sluggish person. Number two. Oh, let me give you this verse. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. You know, it feels good to go to bed when you've worked for it. Amen. It's a good, sleep is not bad. Sleep is a blessing. I enjoy getting in the bed. I like silk pillowcases. Somebody say amen. I like to put my face, mash it down. I like the comfortable position and enjoying the bed. It's great. It's sweet for a laboring person. But the sluggard, oh, it's an awful evil. Keeps you in bed. Don't waste your life in the bed. Number two, the sluggard is more trouble than he is worth. The sluggard is more trouble than he is worth. You know what a sluggard is? They're not worth their hire. Amen. The Bible says, hey, we see the principle in Jesus and the gospel accounts when he gives the parables of stories, that a laborer ought to be worth the hire. $8 an hour ought to be because you've worked an honest $8 an hour. And away with this, when the boss is away, you know, the mice will play business. I found out, to be honest with you, whether the boss is there or not, that dirty, rotten, lazy, no good worker, he'll be lazy anyways, with or without the boss around. You ought to be an honest person. God, I wonder why we don't have revival in America. Maybe because everyone that says they're born again is a bunch of lazy, no good sluggards at work. You ought to be worth the hire. Don't be more trouble than you're worth. I remember when I was a bum. And I don't mean living on the street, just my attitude. As a teenager, I think 99% teenagers fall in that category for a little while. Help me, mama. Amen. And I had some trouble. I had what's called a get-by-itis. I just got by with everything, you know. And I started working for my stepdaddy. He had a lawn care service. And you're talking about work. That man was a working machine. He made me work. And he would tell me, he said, Josh, I'll tell you, right now you're about $1 an hour, man. I said, I can't believe, I'm sweating. Yep, you're about worth $1 an hour. Maybe one day you'll get good enough to be $2 an hour. I don't pay you what you're worth. He just slapped me around with compliments. Amen. Oh, he used to have a philosophy. Josh, we work harder, not smarter around here. We're going to work hard. We're going to be working men. We're going to have some character, some decency about us. And I wonder how many of us fit into Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 10, 26 says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send them. You know, when you put vinegar in your mouth, now, you don't die, but it bothers you. Who in here enjoys gushing vinegar? And you're just like, boy, this is wonderful. You don't enjoy it. You might have to do it. It might be good for you, but while you're doing it, you're going, oh, this is bothersome. Well, that's what a sluggard is. To those that send him. To those that hire the sluggard. To the one that hires him to do his work. To work around his house. To work in his factory. To work in her business. The person that hires that sluggard, you know what they are? They're a nuisance. They're not worth their more trouble than they are worth. I got to keep going behind them, making sure they're doing their work. Is that you? Are you always trying to get by and cut corners? Are you the person that the boss has to constantly wonder how you're doing? You know, God's people ought to be the greatest workers on the business scene. We ought to be the hardest workers. We ought to have the most diligent hands, calluses. We ought to have such character that we're early to work, that we stay late, that no one's got to beg us to do extra things, that we do our job and we do it with the love of Jesus because we're working under Him and not under man. People ought to see this about you. They ought to say, if there's anybody I can count in this business, it's such and such. They ought to see you working so hard and so faithful to your job. Don't be the weasel. Don't be the conniver. Don't be the slugger that's worth nothing but your trouble. And we've all seen those employees. We've worked around them. Some of us are them. That's right. Don't be like that. God help us to not be more trouble than we're worth. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 25 says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 21:25 again says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Is that you? Are you more trouble than your word? You refuse to do labor? The boss gives you an assignment, he walks out and you start cutting corners. And I was good at this one, man. My stepdad, he wore me. He made me a man. Amen. God used that man. He said, Josh, I need you to do this, this, and this. And I'd say, no problem. No problem, boss. And I'd turn around to the other employees. All right, you go do this. You go do this. You go do that. And he said, Josh, you're a professional delegator, aren't you? Amen. But I didn't give that for you to give to somebody else. Your hands. Are you afraid to use your hands? Are you afraid to bend down and work? Or are you that delegator? A professional, let me find somebody else to do my work. Find someone else to take my time. Always wanting to get out of work. Always looking for a spot to leave early. Let me tell you something. As a Christian, God help you. You are an awful testimony to the cause of Christ when you work with lost people who show up to work and find that you have left them a horrible mess, that they have to spend time fixing what you did wrong, your laziness, working your hours and theirs. And God help you if you're that person that you ought to have been there at 8 o'clock so they could go home and you get there at 8:15 every morning. And I don't know why, but we have bosses that are scared to death to fire people today. Amen. When I worked for Larry McDaniel at the town squire, and he was another man. I call him one of my daddies. I got about 5 men in my life that are daddy to me. I walked in late one day. I'm talking about like I was supposed to be there at 11. I was there at 11:02. And he was just working normal. I thought, oh, okay, I guess he didn't see me. Then he walked by. Josh, make sure you get on the ledger and write what time you came in. Okay. Went up to the ledger on the front desk, wrote it. Then he walked by and said, first time's an accident, second time's on purpose, and you're fired. I thought, good night. If someone is sick and dying, I'm going to be at work on time. Well, it's missing today. Don't be a sluggard. The marks of a sluggard. Number 3, the sluggard knows it all. You know what the sluggard is? They're arrogant. They know it all. They don't need anybody to give them any advice. Let me tell you a faster way to do the job you're doing. I got it. Is that you? Are you afraid for somebody to help you out? A know-it-all? You say, but I've been here 2 years. They've been here just a few months. They don't have to tell me the best way to do the computer system that I've been doing. You know what? They might have figured it out a little bit better than you. Why don't you listen? Are you a know-it-all? Have you arrived to where you know everything better than everyone else around you? Is the only person that can influence you is your boss? Is the only one that can influence you is somebody that is older in age? You know, a little side note, I've met Christians who go to local churches and they go to places where the pastor is 70 plus years of age. Nothing wrong with that. But the reason why, their reason's messed up. They say, look, I'm 50 something years old. I can never sit under somebody that's younger than me. Well, bless your heart. You've not arrived. God's Word and God's man can meet anybody in any area. Your faith is not in the age limit of somebody. It's in the Word of God. Vance Havner pastored at the age of 12. I bet a lot of people had a problem with him. I probably wouldn't have either. What do you tell me, young boy? Oh, the man of God. And going back, we got to be careful not to be a know-it-all. Proverbs 26, verse 16 says this. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16 says, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can actually tell him what he needs to know. The sluggard thinks he knows it all. He lives in some kind of a dream world. He lives in this false reality that he's got life all figured out. That she has understood everything there is to know about being a mama. About being a daddy. About being a teenager. You meet them teenagers that think they know it all. Amen. And I meet them adults that do too. That's not how it is. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, listen to this. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Proverbs 21, verses 25 through 26. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Listen again to that verse. The desire of the slothful killeth him. For his hands refuse the labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long. All day long he's coveting, but he doesn't do anything. All day long he dreams, but he doesn't do anything with his hands. You know what he is? He's a talker. You know what he is? He acts like he knows it all. You know what it is? Somebody goes up to him and says, listen, if you did this, it'd be a better way. And he says, no, I know what I'm doing. And then he does nothing. That's a sluggard. Somebody acts like they know what they're doing. In all reality, they waste their day and do nothing. They're more troubled than they're worth. They think they know it all. They think they got life figured out. God can give a young person wisdom, but I think about so many wise or so many unwise young people who, when they graduate high school, they have a dad or they have a mom, they have somebody that mentors them that says, you know what, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to go here, you need to go here, and they just ignore it. I know what I'm doing. I'm gonna go over there and work at Pizza Hut for about 5 more years. I know I'm gonna figure my life out. I know what I'm doing. I'm finding myself. I'm gonna find myself. I spent 5 years finding myself. I'm 18. I got to find who I am. Find yourself, you know. They don't know nothing. Think they know everything. They don't know a thing. You know what you need to do? You need to find an axe. You need to find a plow. You need to find some hard work. You need to find some calluses. You need to find some sweat on that brow. What you need to do is bend over and work and be a working man. What you need is character, young person. That's what you need. And listen to the advice and wisdom of those around you and your elders. And don't think you know everything, because you don't. The sluggard knows it all. Let me ask you a question. Those that have been working somewhere for many years, could a new person give you advice? It ought to be that way. I do side work, and God's blessed me with a job, and I thank God for it. I'm so grateful. We need money, and God's been so good to my family by giving us labor. And one thing I do, Brother Glenn and I, we both are officials. Amen. We officiate basketball. High school basketball. A guy that has really gone out of the way and mentored me is a guy that at one point was a Division I official. And that's pretty heavy stuff. And you know what's amazing about this guy? I look up to him. I think, what a great helper. You know what he does? He will ask me when I do a game with him. He'll go, do you see anything I did wrong today? I'm going, you're asking me if I saw anything you did wrong? You have forgotten more things than I know. Amen. You've lost just more than what I've learned. You know what you're doing. But you know what? It shows you something. You're never, never to advance to listen in any area of life, in any area of life. If I had a young preacher come up to me and he said, preacher, let me tell you some things I learned about prayer. I want to listen to him. I don't look down and say, you haven't gained any years on me. God help us. The sluggard knows it all. Don't be that mark. Let me show you another one. Number 4, the sluggard is full of excuses. As Mr. Pastor Pirate wrote, excuses, excuses, we hear them every day. You know? Don't be full of excuses. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. You need to go plow. It's cold out there. Therefore shall he beg at harvest. I don't have any crop. Duh. You made excuses. And have nothing. The weather becomes too cold. The house becomes too hot. The streets are too dangerous. Listen, this one, Proverbs 26, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Full of excuses. I can't go work today. I got a headache. Hello. I can't go to work today. I don't feel that good. What happened to crawling into work instead of calling into work? Amen. Same thing for church. Now, if you have a disease or, some virus that's going to spread and make everybody sick, stay home. Amen. Please don't come. Look at me. Don't come. Amen. Don't come. If you come and I know about it, I'm not going to talk to you. I'll say, good to see you. Lord bless you. See you later. I love you from a distance. Be careful. This mentality of, oh man, I just don't feel that good. I think I'm going to call into work. I hope you're not that kind of trouble for your boss. Making a schedule out for you. Hey man! Making a schedule out for you and planning their work situation around you. And then you give them a little phone call and act like you're deathly sick and all you got is some little headache. Making excuses, full of excuses. Or how about this one? We live in Flagstaff. We get snow. Well, I know I can get out of my driveway. But if it just kind of snows big around town, my boss would be cool if I say I can't get out. That goes around this town, don't it? That goes around this town. Just because somebody else might not be able to get out in parks, and you live in Sunnyside, right? Well, parks can't get out. I'm going to use that excuse. You better watch it. That's a mark of a sluggard. Is that who you want to be? You want to be identified as a sluggard? It's not that hard to get out of snow. Now, if we have it packed out, I understand. But people are looking to get an excuse to get out of what God has ordained. Don't you forget it. Work is not a dirty word. It is a blessing from heaven. It's not a curse. You ought to thank God you've got somewhere to go make money and work. You ought to thank God. Say, looking for excuses. Excuses. What can I come up with today? Does something hurt? I think, let me feel. Is there a problem at home? Is family life too difficult that I can't handle it? I can call in sick. Call in problem. How about get yourself up and take your headache and be a man and be a woman and be somebody who is a laborer for the Lord and get your blessing from God and follow. Amen. We're just so weak in America. We're so weak. We're so selfish. We're so lazy. Most employees think that it's about them. They think they got hired for them. Listen to me. This is good. Most employees think they got hired for them. I got this job for me. You know, you think this is silly, but really this is the mentality. The boss looked at me and said, this boy needs a job. He needs work. I want to help him out. That's not it. He hired you for him. He hired you for his business. She hired you for her business. They hired you so you could help their business out. It's not about you. Let's be honest. We go to work. I don't even believe job. Don't tell someone I need a job. No, you need work. You're going to work. You're ready to work. You know these people that make excuses that say this number? I just can't find a job. I put 50 applications in. Well, you must have put them in without signing your name and ran and never called back. You're making excuses. You're lying to everybody. You know what you are? You're a pretender. Hey, you're a pretender. You're pretending to be a hard worker. You're a poser, dude. You're a poser. You're just posing to be somebody trying to find work, dude. Quit posing. Quit acting like you put applications in. Hey, if you want work, you can find it. I guarantee you, if you want to find work, it won't take you long to get hired. You walk in somewhere, is your boss here? Well, he's over there. May I speak with him? Well, sure. He comes out. Sir, my name is Josh Craig. I'm ready to work. I want to do this job. I want to work. And I'm ready to start today. And I've already filled out my online application. And I come to see you in person. Well, give me a few weeks. No problem. And you call him about 3 days later. Hey, come by again. You give me somebody that's got it in them to work. They'll look at you, look at the application, put your name right on top, and you'll be the hurry if you'll stop being lazy. Poser. Pretender. I just can't find work. I gotta keep drawing unemployment. I just gotta keep asking the church if they can help me out one more month. That's right. How about get out and work? Don't be full of excuses. Number 5. We're almost done. The sluggard is a poor person and a hungry person. They are a poor person and a hungry person. Hey, here's a newsflash. You know what you're going to be if you're going to be a sluggard? You're going to be poor and hungry. Proverbs 24, verse 33. I like this. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. It says it again in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10, 11. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come. You know what God says? Watch this. A little laziness brings great destruction. Quit folding your hands and start working with your hands. Start working with the hands God's given you. Don't fold them. Don't be lazy. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. By the way, I believe in helping the poor that are poor the right way, but we're not going to help a freeloader. God says a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That's Bible verse. It's easy to find out if they want to work. Give them a job. Tell them that you'll help them out. I'm not interested in giving someone a quick fix of, oh, you need $2.50. Here you go, sir. Well, what can we do? Do you have someone that can help you find a job? You need help? What can we do? People need to work. Proverbs 19:24, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. Listen to this. And will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Listen how lazy this is. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. A sluggard gets so filled with laziness, he won't even feed himself when food is given to him. How many times have you found that person on the side corner saying, hungry, anything helps? And you go, hey, sir, anything helps? I got a burger in my car. And they go, oh, I don't want it. Oh, that's a sluggard. Food brought to them, won't even take it. I found out that homeless people in Flagstaff can be extra greedy. They'll say, you got anything? I say, well, I got $6 a quarter. Oh, I don't want quarter. I just want cash. They do that stuff. At one time, a guy came in the church, and he wasn't all there because he came back the very next day. He apparently forgot that he'd already been to our church once. So he walked in there, and he's like, you got any food? You can tell he wasn't hurting. I mean, he had some heaviness going on. You got, I'm hungry, I'm poor. You got anything? I said, sure, I got some stuff. Started pulling out the ramen noodles. Got some stuff. Beanie weenies. Pop that can to eat it right there. Start pulling all this stuff out. Yeah, here you go. Let me help you out. We like helping people. Let me help you out. He goes, looks at it and goes, oh, I don't like that stuff. All right, bye-bye. That's a mark of a sluggard. Give food. He won't even reach out. Take it. Greedy. Don't be a sluggard. Amen. Don't be a sluggard. Let me give you just a couple more. We'll be done. Number 6. Mark of a sluggard. The sluggard is a slave to others. A sluggard is a slave to others. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Proverbs 12, 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Here's the reality about those that are sluggard, those that are lazy. In all reality, you become a slave to those that help you. Because eventually, you find out that you have no money and you go in debt. And now you owe too many people. And now you have no choice but to start working. And you never wanted to begin with, bless your heart. But now you got to. You're a slave. How many times does this happen? They go up to you, like I said, that same guy. They go up, you find them sluggards that go up to get money from you. And then they find out they've met you before. You got, he already helped me. He's already given me money. I guess I better not ask him. I'm already in debt to that guy. I'm already a slave to that one. They keep on asking. They keep on going in debt. Before they know it, they owe so many family members, they can't even go visit their family. I remember a guy who's come to our church. I love him. I love him. I love him. I love when I still see him. I yell out, "Hey, how you doing?" He's like, you know, he's just great. But he couldn't go to any family member. He couldn't walk into his children's house. He had become such a lazy man living on the streets and taking and taking. Before he knew it, everyone in his family had given him lots of money. He can't even go visit them now. He'd have to do all these things to make things right. They are so tired because all he does is visit to mooch on them. By the way, how many times have we seen a man that's 55 living with his mama? Mooching. You know what? That's just robbery. That's a thief. When you are going to stay with your parents and mooch off them and you're in and out of work and you pose as you put applications in, mom, and you listen, if you're 40, 50 years old, God help you, you are a thief. Get out of your parents' house. 18 years old, if you're not in college, you ought to be out of your mom and dad's house. Or have a job and pay half the rent. Your mama does your laundry and you're 19 years old. Pitiful. I like what one person said. He said, you wouldn't go visit the Queen of England and drop a big old ton of laundry in front of her and say, Queenie, go do my laundry. But you do it to your mom, who's more important than the Queen. Amen. Be careful, children. Hey, some of y'all teens in here, you're going to get 18 years old if you stay in that house. If your parents bless you. My dad, he made it clear. He said, you're going to live here if you're in college. Thank God for a good daddy. You can stay here if you're in college. Yeah, because you're gone. Amen. If you turn 18, you better be in school. You better be working. You better be... Mom, dad, and listen, I know it's hard for a mom and dad, but just remember, God's way is better than our thinking, and you cannot let your child... You'll grow a bum if you let your child at the age of 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, stay in your house and not work. You're going to find that he'll be there when he's 50. Sure will. We see it all the time. We know friends, family members that have these boys that they never made become a man and they're still with them in their late age. Don't be a slave to others. The last thing that I'm done, a sluggard is a waster. A sluggard is a waster. The sluggard is a waster. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. What a great scripture promise or truth right there. Let's do it again. Proverbs 18, 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. I used to work at a boys' home and I never forget. They loved it. They got a kick out of it. I preached a message on you're related to great waster, you know. I was like, that's who your brother is? You lazy bum. You know who your family member is? Great waster. They thought that was so funny. They begin to pick on each other with that through the week. Oh, great waster over there didn't do his work, you know. Related to great waster. Who's your brother? Great waster? Oh, it's true. God says your brother is a great waster. You know why? Because slothful people waste their opportunities. They need a job and somebody says, I'll give you one. And what do they do? Hey, listen, our country's messed up, no doubt about it. Jesus is out. We need him. Revival is the only answer, period. Christ has got to take over. But let's look at the lack of decency and lack of character in our country. If you were to walk on the streets and find people the age of 30 and under, how many of them do you think have had the same job they've had since they're 24? How many adults do you find that stay at the same place of business? Now, I understand if something happens and an opportunity allows you to move up somewhere or get a better job. You know what I'm talking about. But these people that get hired and 6 months later, they quit because of whatever. I didn't like how the boss talked to me. You bum. It's not about you. They didn't hire you to make you a better you and have all the you things. They hired you to make their business better. Well, I'm not no doormat. Well, I tell you what, that's not Bible Christianity, that kind of thinking. If they're going to talk down to me, I'm leaving this place. All right, great waster. Have at it, brother, the great waster. God's giving you an opportunity to make money. There's people that want to work. There's people that don't have jobs. There's people that do want to work hard. They want a job description that you have, the money you make, instead of making the small amount they make. Don't be a waster. I meet so many all the time. They just job hop. They get hired here and they leave the job here. And what are you doing hopping around? Where's the people that work for 20 years in the same place? You say, oh, I want a job I like. Find that in the Bible. Work where you like. I thank God for the testimony. Listen, my dad left me a man's testimony. I thank God for Dale Gregg. Got hired on right after the Vietnam War. Became a hard-working man, and the war taught him something, no doubt, living in mud beds for over a year. And my dad, he began a working man of the luxurious, glorious job of the paper mill. Isn't that an exciting life? You clock in with such thrill and excitement to work at a paper mill. I found out, if you find somebody that works at a paper mill, they all have memorized when they retire. Paper mill people know when they're retired. You're like, how long have you been working? 5 years. But 15 years, 6 months, 3 days, 2 hours, 33 seconds, I'm out. Man, they count the days. The paper mill folk, they don't go because they love it. But my dad did retire from a paper mill. I can ask my dad, Dad, did you love your job? He'd say, no. Why did you work there then? Because I had to provide for my family. And I had a job. And I worked it. You mean tell me 25 plus years you clock in somewhere that you don't like to work, but you do it? Let me tell you something. Especially boys. Look right here, boys. Let me tell you something. That's called being a man. That's called being a man. Girlies, let me tell you something. That's a lady. That's a virtuous woman. That's a righteous man that puts his hand to work. Doesn't waste the God-blessed opportunities they have in their life. May God help us this morning to have the mind of Christ and not be a slothful, no good, bum of a Christian. And if any of these marks have touched your heart, maybe this morning you just need to say, Dear God, I don't think I've got any of these marks, but I don't want to get to the place where I do have them. My dad's retired. He retired. I can tell you right now, you don't find my dad laying in bed at 8:30 and 9 o'clock in the morning. You don't find my dad just wasting the day away watching TV. And by the way, parents, go home and throw the PlayStation away if your child's going to waste his afternoon playing some dumb button video game. Get him outside and tell him to play hide and go seek by himself. Just get him out. Who am I going to play with? Just play with yourself. Say, I'm going to go hide. Count to 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ready now. Here I come. Found you. Okay. Get them out. They'll hate me. They'll get over it and they'll love you. They'll thank God they had a mom and dad that made a man out of them instead of some bum. Any of these marks. Leave a legacy where others know this man, this woman, had character. Never let it be said of you that you're the excuser. Never let it be said of you that you stay in your bed. Never let it be said of you that you're late to work. Hey, the responsibility that God has instilled and given you, let it be known that you're a man, a woman of your word, and you do what you're supposed to do. Because it's God's blessed giving that He's given you this responsibility. We've got to be mindful of this. Adam was commanded in Genesis chapter 2. Jesus was a carpenter before his ministry. Paul was a tent maker while he started churches. We're to be workers. Let's pray. All heads bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. You might have a mark, or you might just want to say, "Dear God, I don't want to have it." You might be close to the age of retirement. God help me to not be a lazy person that lays down my life after I stop the working years of these 30 plus years. It's about time. Listen, it's about time we work to work, whether we like the job or not. And if you're going to flip burgers, you ought to be the best burger flipper in the store. You ought to do everything right. Show up early. Leave late. Just because time is over don't mean you're flying out and halfway doing the end of the day responsibilities that you have been given. We've got to have the testimony of Jesus. I tell you, when people went to Jesus for the carpentry work he did, there was nothing like it. And you can imagine those that bought tents from the Apostle Paul. Oh, what workmanship he put into it. It will develop the character that you wish you had if you'll make yourself be a hard, old-fashioned worker for God. Father in heaven, I pray you give us victory. And Lord, if anybody's here that's never been saved, thank you for last week when that girl got saved. Thank you for her young life being saved. I pray you bless her and her fiancé and help her. Lord, help us to not have the mark of a sluggard. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand up. Piano's playing. You come forward right now. Let's all stand up. Whatever God's touched your heart on.